Father, I thank you, Lord, for inspiration of the Almighty. You said it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that is in you. Hallelujah. Therefore, open your mouth wide and I will feel it, and my spirit that is in your mouth shall not depart from you. The words that we speak this morning, the words that we hear, the meditations of our heart over those things that we shall hear, but let them all be acceptable before you today. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to those who are simple-hearted before you. Now, Lord, shine that light into our hearts this morning. Give us understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church at this time. Praise the Lord. Give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I want to talk it, you know, I'm going to take my time. So this is part one of prophets, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and walking in the prophetic. This room title is not long, space is not long enough to put it all, but I'll be speaking about all those things, speaking about prophets, speaking about prophecy, speaking about the gift of prophecy, yeah, speaking about, you know, prophesying, speaking about, you know, walking in the prophetic. Where we're really going is walking in the prophetic. But we got to lay the background on this subject. Praise the Lord. So deep dive of sorts. Come on in and let's go. Amen. Well, Paul, in his writings to the church, dealt quite a bit about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, but I like to call it more the body ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, whereas he started out with, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, we see that he went into the body ministry. And so we see that these gifts of the Spirit, they are in the body of Christ to function together so that it work. I mean, the body can work as intended. He starts out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, by saying that concerning spiritual gifts, I would not that you should be ignorant. So you should not be ignorant, he's saying, concerning spiritual gifts. Now, let's talk about it. Now, this particular mini series is not going to be about all the spiritual gifts. We'll probably deal with those as time goes on. This time around, I want to focus on the area of prophecy and prophesying and ministry gifts, and also worship gifts that are personal, you know, gifts that relate to that. Those are the ones we're going to be talking about today. Now, you say, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, he said, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So right away, we see that different kinds of gifts. You know, we see that people can administer or operate those gifts in different ways. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, the prophet without. Now, begin to talk about all the various gifts. Somewhere in here, it talks about, you know, the gift of prophecy, among others. So there is a gift of prophecy. And then we also know that throughout the Bible, you know, God has talked about prophets, and we were going to examine the subject of prophecy within itself. We're going to look at prophesying. We're going to look at the office of the prophet. And we're going to look at walking in the prophetic. Now, what do all these things mean? You know, so we'll take our time. Be like, just take it as a study. Do a deep dive into these things. And see what the Lord is going to tell us. Now, we're going to start at the beginning, the relationship that God was trying to build with the children of Israel way back when. And we know that even before Israel, you know, there were a few references here and there, you know, to prophet. You know, or the word prophet was used here and there. Even for cases where you did not even think that a person could have been a prophet, God might call them a prophet, you know. And so we're going to look at, you know, those things in the Bible. And what is a prophet really? And how does God define who a prophet is and how he would deal with a prophet, you know, those kinds of things. So let's just take a look, you know, about all these things that relate to this subject. Now, I don't know whether any of us, you know, thought of Abraham as a prophet, or perhaps even David as a prophet, you know, but, you know, let's see what the, you know, what the scriptures, you know, have to say about that. In the book of, you know, starting from, you know, Genesis 12 to Genesis 23, we see many things about the life of Abraham. Started out being called Abraham, God, you know, visited him and so forth, the change of name and all of that. You know the story. But in Genesis chapter 20, there is something that happened in the life of Abraham, right? And he went somewhere with his wife. And, you know, we're told that he went toward the south country, dwelt in a place called Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. So when he was there, Abraham said to his wife, Sarah, said concerning his wife, Sarah, he said, she is my sister. Well, in a way, she's actually related to him, sister, but, you know, and there was a reason later on, you know, that we found that he said that, you know, because he thought, you know, well, you know, these people are, you know, terrible people here. Yeah, they might just kill me and take my wife. He said, well, my sister. So this man who was king, Abimelech was his name, took the woman. And then the Lord came to this Abimelech in the night, you know, and said to him, you're a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she is another man's wife. And Abimelech said, oh, another man's wife? The man said, is my sister. And so this conversation ensued, you know, and the Lord said, look, you better restore. Say, I'm the one that kept you back from touching the woman anyway, you know, but restore the man his wife. So let's read that verse, Genesis 20 and verse 7. Here's what the Lord said to Abimelech concerning Abraham. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and thou shalt restore her. And if thou restore her not, then thou shalt know that you shall surely die, and all that is there will die along with you. Now, God called Abraham a prophet. Would you have thought that Abraham was a prophet? I mean, you know, we see that this is God calling Abraham a prophet. But if you look at the story of Abraham, we today, the last thing you would think of when you're thinking of Abraham would be a prophet. You think of him of many things, father of faith, this and that, and so forth. You know, but not a prophet, but God called him a prophet. Now, so right away we see that there is a lesson there. You know, how God calls, that's up to him. And he's the one that calls them, not someone that is appointed. You know, a lot of people are self-appointed prophets today. You know, and how many prophecies exactly did Abraham prophesy? I mean, I give you a challenge to study that. However, if you look at the life of Abraham, you might say he was someone that walked in the prophetic all the time because, you know, God was always speaking to him. And, he always heard the voice of God, and God was guiding him, and there was this thing, and his very life story was prophetic. In his life story, there would come, you know, even the promised seed would come eventually through him. You know, I mean, many things that would happen, even when he didn't know about it, how God would bless him with seed that would be innumerable, and all the things that would happen to them, how they would be, you know, eventually tormented for 400 years. I mean, whole life of Abraham seemed like one giant prophecy. But he himself, I mean, did not prophesy anything per se too much, or say, thus saith the Lord, or this and that. I mean, you might think of Abraham as an intercessor when he was interceding for, you know, the place where his nephew Lot lived, Sodom and Gomorrah. He stood before the Lord, and you know, I mean, you know this story and all that, you know, happened there. When the Lord came between Genesis 18 and 19, when the Lord said he was going to destroy the place, in Genesis 18, Abraham stood before the Lord and, you know, tried to intercede for that place that would not be destroyed. He started pleading, if you find 50 people there, will you destroy it? 45, 30, and so on. Those are the things we think of about Abraham. We don't think of him necessarily as a prophet, but God called him a prophet. Now we'll come back to that, you know, later on and see, you know, why God does that. But I can say this to you right away, you know, that if you look at the life of Abraham and God calling him a prophet, well, you know, that would tell you that there is the way that God, you know, defines the word prophet, that may not be the way that we think of it today. Now, that was Abraham. Well, let's talk about another one in his lineage, you know, who was David. You know, David was also called a prophet. Now, it's easier to think of David as a prophet than it probably was for us to think of Abraham as a prophet. And because, I mean, David, you know, David prophesied many things, you know, and in fact, you know, he wrote some Psalms about the Christ, like Psalm 22 and some other things, you know. He wrote in Psalm 110 about, you know, the Christ in a way. You know, there's many things that he wrote, you know, and there were many things prophetic about some of his writings. You know, we might think of him as a prophet in those, you know, in that sense, you know, because of some of the things he wrote. But he was recognized as, you know, a prophet when in on the day of Pentecost, we see that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preached a mighty, mighty sermon. And he used many references. In those days, they used to like to track their message down through from Abraham, because every one of those Jews, you know, felt that they were the seed of Abraham, you know. So they used Abraham's lineage to prove to them that Christ was the promised one, and so on and so forth, you know. So, I mean, let's read a couple of verses in Acts chapter 2 from verse 30 or so, and see what the Lord, you know, what was said about David. Now, he said, you know, was talking about the prophecies of David in Psalm 16, where he was saying, you know, thou would not leave my soul in hell, neither would thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption, you know. And he was saying, well, you know, David wrote those things, but let me tell you freely of this David. He was not speaking of himself, because his sepulchre is with us, he's dead, and we know where he was buried. Now, he was speaking of someone else. He said here in verse 20 of Acts chapter 2, David, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this, therefore, spake of the resurrection, excuse me, of the Christ, that the soul, Christ's soul, was not left in hell. You know, so David is being called a prophet. Now, we all knew David as a king. You know, if we say what role David played, king. That's the first thing that will come to us, to our minds. But here, we're told that he was a prophet. Now, putting those two stories in our minds might give us an indication of how God, you know, looks at what we call today, you know, prophets. How did God look at prophet? You know, there were some things that David prophesied, definitely. But his life also was a life of the prophetic. All the things, you know, that, you know, the Lord even said concerning him, how that he would choose his throne, etc., you know, to set upon, you know. So we know that David also spoke of the Christ. Jesus even referred to this. You know, one time he said, you know, who do scribes say that Christ will be? They said, well, the son of David. And so Jesus said, well, if he's the son of David, why then did David call him Lord? And Jesus referred to this Psalm 110, where David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And, you know, so Jesus said, well, if David called him Christ Lord, how then is he his son? He just left it. He wasn't saying he wasn't his son. He was just asking the people a question. You know, Jesus wasn't refuting the scriptures. Jesus was indeed the son of David. But Jesus just asking them, well, you think he's the son of David? Okay, tell me. You know, if he's the son of David, you know, how then did David call him, you know, Lord, how do you call your son Lord? Well, they couldn't answer it. And Jesus knew what he was saying. And I love the fact that Jesus liked to ask the people questions, you know, and sometimes trip them up, you know, because they wouldn't have the right answers, you know. So, and Jesus knew within himself that he is the Son of God. I mean, David, he knew that. He said in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. That's at the end of the book. Jesus is still claiming to be the root. The root comes before, the offspring comes after. So Jesus came before David and he also came after David. You know, Jesus was way before David. According to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read, Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the smallest among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor among my people, whose goings forth have been from of old. This was Christ. Was way before. He didn't just set up shop when Mary got pregnant. It was way before that. But later, he also came as the lineage, I mean, through the lineage of David. Yeah, wherefore, he is called both the root that came before and also the offspring that came after. You know, but Jesus, he spoke about David being a prophet. And David, you know, spoke about Christ before he came. Now, prophets generally would hear from God and would declare the mind of God and things to come. Now, they also bring the word of God for correction. I mean, we see that in the olden days, you know, the prophets would hear from God and they would go and speak to the king or speak to the people or this and this. People didn't always hear. Sometimes the king didn't always hear, you know, but sometimes they would hear. David was a man that heard. You know, when he did what he should never have done, and looking upon someone else's wife and taking her and then orchestrating the man's killing, it was a horrible, horrible thing. Well, the prophet Nathan was sent to him and spoke to him. He heard and he repented. Well, you know, all kings didn't always repent when they heard the word of God. We did the story of Asa several months ago. You know, at first he heard when one prophet came and spoke to him. You know, later on, when another prophet came and judged him, that his heart went after seeking help, you know, from others rather than the Lord, he became angry. And he did not, you know, tremble at the word of God. In fact, he threw that prophet in prison and did all kinds of other things. You know, so, you know, sometimes those prophets would bring the word of the Lord like that and they would, you know, it would speak to the people. In the Old Testament, reading the Bible, the way it's the Bible, the canon of the Bible is put together. If I say, who are the prophets? I mean, everybody knows those whom we call prophets. And so far, some people say major prophets, minor prophets, just because of the volume of the book they wrote. You know, Isaiah is called a major prophet. Jeremiah is called a major prophet. Ezekiel is called a major prophet because they wrote chapters and chapters and chapters. You know, then they call all these other little ones that wrote little books. You know, Daniel is also called a major prophet. So we call Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, etc. You know, we call them minor prophets just because their chapters are smaller. You know, but, you know, well, that's us. God never called any one of those people major or minor. You know, they're either a prophet or not a prophet. You know, so, and let's see what God himself, you know, spoke to, I mean, how he spoke to us about, you know, how he would deal with prophets. You know, in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, so we see the Lord is talking here, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. You know, so right away we see that, you know, prophets will also have visions and dreams. Because the Lord is saying here, if there's a prophet among you, I will speak to him in a vision and I will speak to him in a dream. Now, and he said, my servant Moses is not like that. You know, now this was, you know, when, you know, everybody, you know, like Aaron and Miriam and all these people were saying, well, you know, contending with Moses. So the Lord also said, you know, Moses is way beyond that. You know, so you can see that God was not even, you know, referring to Moses as just as a prophet. He said, Moses is beyond that, you know, because with Moses, I will speak mouth to mouth. And even apparently that's face to face. And we saw that in, you know, Exodus 33 and 11, where he said the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. I will not speak to him in dark speeches. So prophets, you know, God can give them dark speeches, you know, but he said, you know, you will behold the similitude of the Lord. Therefore, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? They didn't call him my prophet Moses. You know, so you see that the way that God even elevated this word servant was even way higher. He said, look, you guys are prophets. So I will give you dreams and visions and stuff like that. Now, I will give you occasional visitations and here and there. But this man Moses, I have spoken to him face to face. Why were you not even afraid to contend with him? So the Lord judged them there. But what I wanted to bring out was the fact that, you know, God called out, you know, how he would visit prophets here in dreams and in visions. So we see that, you know, a prophet will have dreams and visions. And, you know, Moses wrote a lot of things about that, because he was trying to set them straight, because he knew that, you know, there will be prophets and so forth. Moses himself spoke about a prophet, capital P, that will come after him. But before we get there, let's talk about this. Some of the things that Moses wrote about, you know, prophet. Now, you know, today, you know, we think of prophets as someone that stands and speaks a message from God in the name of the Lord to a person or a group of persons or even over a nation or nations. You know, a prophet can do that. You know, but, you know, when a prophet speaks or when someone speaks, you know, purporting to be speaking in the name of the Lord, well, how do you know that he's speaking in the name of the Lord? I mean, so those are some of the things we want to get to now. Just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, does that mean the Lord has said it? I mean, there are many scriptures that tell us these things. Now, these things are in the Bible, yet many of us do not consider these things. Well, also because, you know, our teachers don't teach us these things. So we're going to teach and look at these things during this series. How do you know if a prophet that spoke in the name of the Lord or someone that spoke in the name of the Lord, if they were speaking from the Lord? I might be a prophet, but did they speak from the Lord? They might not be tagged as a prophet, but can they speak from the Lord? I mean, is it only prophet? These are some of the questions we're going to answer through this series. Is it only a prophet, quote unquote, someone that has a recognized title and office that can speak in the name of the Lord? That can have a word from God, that can have a visitation from God, you know, that can be useful to someone or a group of people, you know, and so forth. You know, generally, the Lord would not give those kind of messages over the nation and nations to just someone that has the gift of prophecy. It'll be a prophet. We're going to come into that later to show how that having the gift of prophecy doesn't make a person a prophet like that. You know, but the gift of prophecy is something that anybody in the church can have. We'll get to that when we get more into the book of the teachings that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12 and also 1 Corinthians 14. You know, so, but here I want to deal with prophet first. So in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, we read this. If there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, right, that gives you a sign or a wonder. Now, because people said, you know, how do you know if he's a prophet? Well, you know, in fact, let me read this. Before we read Deuteronomy 13, let me read Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 to 22. The prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. You know, so the Lord didn't take it. It wasn't funny at all. He didn't take it easy at all with prophets that, you know, spoke, you know, in the name of other gods, or even spoke a lying divination that God didn't speak. The Lord, you know, was very angry about those things in those days. So he said, look, in those days, that prophet should even die. They used to kill those prophets, false prophets, because they didn't want that spirit to spread. Just kill them, he said. But, you know, well, and he said, but, and then the Lord asked them this question. Exodus, we're reading Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 22. Then the Lord asked them this question. Well, how then shall we know? He said, if you shall say in your heart, how then shall we know which the Lord, you know, the word which the Lord has not spoken? Because the Lord said that if a prophet speaks something that's not from me, that prophet should die. Well, how do we know then it's not from the Lord? That was the question. So it's a valid question. And those people, and the Lord discerned that in their hearts. He said, well, if you think, you know, if you're asking, how should you know that it is something the Lord has spoken or not? But the Lord gave them a simple way. He said, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass. Now, this is a prophet that is prophesying something, not speaking of something in the past, not even speaking of something currently, but speaking of something yet to come. And this is the way that people think of prophecy mostly. People think prophecy is mostly something said about something that is yet to happen. Well, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. We'll find that out in this series. Now, if he says something and the thing follow not, nor come to pass, well, now, the Lord said that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. So the Lord didn't say he's not a prophet, but he called him, he said, a prophet that has now spoken presumptuously, disregard his sayings. Don't even worry about it. Normally, you're supposed to tremble at the word of the Lord, especially if it comes from the mouth of the prophet, you know. But if he says something and it doesn't come to pass, then the Lord said, disregard it, you know, disregard it. But in other cases, you may even, you know, you can have them even deal with that prophet. Well, but what if the thing actually come to pass that the person spoke? So that's the reason I say, let me read Deuteronomy 18 first before I read Deuteronomy 13. What if the prophet said something or showed you a sign and the sign actually came to pass? But then he tells you something, then something is not right. Remember, Isaiah, you know, chapter 8 and verse 20 tells us, you know, to the law and the testimony, right? If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them, that you have no part of that. Don't even, you know, don't even mess around with it. But what if the thing that they do or said come to pass? Is that the only thing that makes us identify that they spoke from the Lord? Number one, if we say something in the name of the Lord doesn't come to pass, then we know they did not speak from the Lord. Because the Lord does not make predictions. Now, there are some prophets that have made predictions. A prediction is not necessarily, if it comes to pass or doesn't come to pass, doesn't make them a false prophet or not. It's just a prediction. Now, God, though, does not make predictions. God tells it the way it is. You know, God doesn't predict anything. He will tell you because he already knows exactly what is going to happen. Now, a prediction can come to pass or not. I mean, even in science and technology, they use predictions, you know, to, you know, try to determine whether it's going to rain, you know, determine the path of a hurricane or tornado. I mean, they gather statistics, right? So you say, okay, these conditions, when these 12 conditions existed exactly the last 100 times, you know, with exactly the same conditions, it was this amount of humidity, this amount of this and that amount of that, and this and this and this, and the wind was in this direction and all of that. You know, these 12 conditions over the last 100 times that these 12 conditions have happened, it rained 69 times. So they will now say, well, if these same conditions, I mean, the set of conditions that we are seeing today, just like we saw over the sample we took 100 times, and during that time of 100 times sampling, it rained 69 times, these same conditions are present today, then they'll predict that you have a 69% chance of rain. That's how they do it. And we have computer programs that help us do all those things. You know, now, does that make them a false prophet if it didn't rain? It was just a prediction. It's a 69% chance of rain. Maybe it'll rain. Maybe it won't rain. You know, suddenly those conditions may change and it may not precipitate like they thought it would. And, you know, it doesn't rain. So do we then throw them away because they are false prophets? Well, it was just a prediction. So let's make, you know, let's separate predictions from prophecy. God, on the other hand, he does not make predictions. That's people. God doesn't need to predict anything. God already knows the end from the beginning. If God tells you, you can take it to heaven. It's exactly the way he says it. There is no if, ands, buts, or maybe about it, you know. But we're not talking about predictions today. I just thought I'd bring that in, you know, just so, you know, we understand. In Isaiah 46, we're told in verse 10, he said, look, I am the Lord God, there is none else like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. So God can declare the end from the beginning. He doesn't make predictions. If God tells you, that's exactly the way it will be. Now, but with God also, there is what we might call conditional prophecy. You know, where the Lord may say, you know, if, I mean, there might be conditions. And if you do this and this and this, then this shall come to pass. And if you don't do this and this, then that will not, then that's conditional. Because the Lord puts a condition there. Sometimes the Lord will give room, you know, kind of like a wiggle room, you know, or escape room for people. You know, when the Lord wants to bring judgment upon them, you know, he will pronounce the judgment, but he will leave some room. You know, if they do repent, then it doesn't have to happen like that. But if they don't, then it will. Now, there are conditional prophecies in the Bible, and there are some conditional prophecies. There's a lot of conditional prophecies. But there are a few unconditional. Now, there are certain unconditional prophecies that are in the Bible, which God has kept the timing of those things to himself. The Lord will return again. That's unconditional. There's no prayer that you can pray to change that. But the timing is what we don't know. See, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, he said, look, you know, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven and so forth? This same Jesus, whom you see taken up into heaven, shall so likewise come again. Jesus himself told many parables about his return. So there is no question about it. You cannot pray it away. It is going to happen. Conditional prophecies may be prayed away and so on. And then maybe the Lord will, you know, repent him of the evil. You know, I mean, when Jonah went to Nineveh and prophesied, yet 40 days and the Lord shall destroy this place. Well, that was a prophecy because it was something future. Yet 40 days. But it was conditional in the heart of God. God actually wanted those people to repent. Now, Jonah didn't preach that part of the repentance because he didn't really care that the people should repent because he wanted them to be punished. You can read that in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The reason why he fled from the purpose, from the presence of God, because he didn't want, you know, God who was merciful to repent. Because, I mean, repent him of the evil because he knew that if those people turned away from their wickedness, the Lord would spare them. And he didn't want them to be spared. Now, that's a horrible, horrible mind of a prophet. I don't even understand that guy, Jonah. You know, but I mean, to not want people to be saved. But anyway, we see that when he went out there and prophesied, yet 40 days and this place shall be destroyed. Well, it was 40 days and the place was going to be destroyed. But the people, every one of them, from the king all the way down, they got in prayer and began to pray, put sackcloth on their heads and so on and so forth, fasted. The king even made a decree. Nobody, no man, woman, boy, girl, you know, nursing mother or anybody, even animal, nobody should eat for 3 days. Call upon the name of the Lord. Repent your ways. They did. And the Lord spared that great city. So that was a conditional, as an example of a conditional prophecy. But for the most part, when the Lord says something, you know, about something that is not based on any condition, it's going to come to pass. You can't change it. Now, there are, I say this to say, when we get to all of these prophesying and gift of prophecy and so on, I say this to say that, you know, sometimes you may receive a dream or a vision or a word or prophecy or something, you know, that is, does not bring wholeness or wellness. You know, suppose you, even as an individual, you see a dream of some bad thing that is going to happen to you or somebody else. Or, you know, somebody comes and tell you some evil thing that's going to come upon you. You know, what should you do then? You know, some months ago, we dealt on a topic in this platform called the proper response to dreams and visions. You might want to look it up. If I find it later, I'll post it. You know, just because somebody said something to you in the name of the Lord, or even you yourself had a dream and the thing is negative, doesn't mean you should just sit back and let it happen. You know, some people do that. And then, you know, and then some people actually, and I'll be talking more about that when I get to this gift of prophecy. You know, some people actually revel in the fact that they saw some bad thing. You know, I don't know why anybody will rejoice over the fact that they saw some bad thing. The Bible said love does not rejoice over iniquity and anything bad in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, but some people like to come out and say, you know, I saw that this person is going to die, or I saw a casket, or I saw, you know, a bad thing, or I saw, why are you always seeing those things? Why don't you see good things? One time the Lord had the prophet Jeremiah. I said, what do you see? Well, he said, well, I see an almond tree full of fruits and things like that. Well, my question is, to these prophets that see these bad things all the time, what is it that you see? Why do you always see bad things? Why don't you see good things? Praise the Lord. But for you, what is your response? You know, if someone, even your own mind, tells you some negative thing is going to happen to you or your loved ones or whatever, what's your response? Are you just going to sit down and let it happen? No. You're going to deal with it, send that thing back and cancel, nullify it. And right away, the covenant with death shall not stand. The agreement with hell shall be disannulled. You nullify it right away. Glory to God. And you know, because you say, well, the Lord has said that his thoughts towards me are of peace and of good and not of evil. So that's how you nullify those things right away that are negative that may come, you know, and don't be afraid of those things, you know. Now, we will also be talking about, you know, a word that may come to you from someone else. If you have the Holy Spirit, what should be your response? We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about, should God be speaking to you for the first time from somebody else? If you yourself have the Holy Spirit, why can't you hear from God yourself? You know, I mean, so we'll be talking about that when we get to walking in the prophetic. You know, but back to this subject of prophets. I mean, like, you can already see that this is going to be a very deep series. We're going to talk about so many things. But back to this subject of the prophet. If the prophet were to say something and it didn't come to pass, then we know that they spoke presumptuously. But what if it did come to pass? And then they tell you something else. You know, they show you a sign and a wonder, they work a miracle and so forth. But then their life does not align with the word of God. In this case, he said, well, they say, let us go after other gods or whatever. You know, but, you know, let us go do something that is contrary to the word of God, basically. Today, we have, you know, people that may speak in the name of the Lord, but, you know, teach the people contrary to the word of God and other things. They may even do a sign of wonder, heal the sick, you know, do some signs, do some wonders. But, you know, yet, you know, their teachings and their ways do not align with the word of God. What does he say then? Well, let's read Deuteronomy 13 verses 1 to 5. If there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and give you a sign or a wonder, and this sign and wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto you. After that, he said, let us go off to other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, even though his sign and his wonder came to pass. If someone prophesies something in the name of the Lord, and the thing come to pass, because, you know, people say, well, that's how you judge. The Lord said, if it doesn't come to pass, then it's not from me. Well, then if it does come to pass, then that means it must be from the Lord. Okay, hold on. The Lord said, even if it come to pass, and then along with that prophecy, they're using it as a bait to cause you to do something that is contrary to the word of God, then he says, you will not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is proving you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And ye shall walk after the Lord only and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice and cleave unto him. Now, that prophet or dreamer of dreams that tried to deceive you, use their sign and wonder to, you know, add, you know, you know, some other thing to it to cause you to stray from the Lord, should be put to death because he had spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God and so on and so forth. You know, so that's how you put evil away from the midst of this. So God was very serious about those things. You know, just because somebody did a sign or did said something that come to pass and they attach something else to that, that will, you know, cause you to go away from the Lord, get away from it. You know, so we see both ways now. First of all, if what they said did not come to pass, then forget it. But even if it came to pass, but along with that, they are using that as a bait to cause you to go away from the Lord and get away from it also. Now, here are some other things we want to consider. And can prophets prophesy lies in the name of the Lord? You know, Is everything that a person that is called a prophet says, is it always from the Lord? Or shall we say something in the name of the Lord? You know, I mean, when someone says the name of the Lord, shall we say because they spoke in the name of the Lord, it is from the Lord? Remember, you know, one of the first commandments is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Have you ever thought what that means? You know, some people think that it means, well, don't use God's name in curse word or swear. Well, that's only part of it. Taking the name of the Lord in vain in the context of this lesson that we are doing today is speaking presumptuously in the name of the Lord to cajole the people when the Lord has not sent you. You know, that will be using the name of the Lord in vain. Because, you know, once you couch it as the name of the Lord, you know that the people are likely to respond to it. So you use the name of the Lord as a bait. You say, the Lord said. I remember in the 70s, I was dealing on the subject of, you know, how people would, you know, be getting married. Among the brethren back in those days, you know, there were this thing that was going around that somebody would say, the Lord said, and the Lord said, you are my wife, or this and that. And I remember, you know, telling people that just because he said, the Lord said, that's none of your concern. You know, they're trying to use the name of the Lord to corner you by saying, the Lord said, why don't you just come to the lady and say, I like you. And then you try to say, the day the Lord said, you are going to be my wife. What did the Lord say? I mean, if the Lord actually did say that, well, but we find out that two or three brothers come and say, the Lord said, you are going to be my wife. Then which one is he going to be? You know, it's either they are all wrong, or at most one of them is correct, you know, but most of the time they're all wrong anyway. And I often told people, I said, look, you need to hear from God yourself. You don't need what somebody told you the Lord said. Now, that's what the Lord told them that. Did the Lord tell you that? You know, you're not responsible for what God told somebody else. That's none of your concern. They can claim anything they want. In fact, later on, I'll show you things that God had told prophets to do, crazy things in this Bible. You know, that seemed weird. But that was God telling them, not God telling the church. If they bring that crazy stuff to the church, we're going to throw it out. Because look, God can tell you anything between you and God. That it's none of my concern. God may tell you to walk naked, you know, walk up and down, marry a harlot, sleep on your side for 390 days, or do all these things, eat dung and so forth. That's you. You can't bring that to the church and then be telling us those things. You know, if you bring it to the church, we're going to have to judge those things. Now, this is what the church is not doing today. You know, the leaders of the church must judge church prophecy. And, you know, they must judge. Let the prophet speak and let two or three at the most and let others judge. You got to judge those things. You know, so we're going to look at those responsibilities later on. But the fact that somebody said, thus said the Lord, doesn't necessarily mean God sent them. Here's a lesson in Jeremiah chapter 14. Let's read verses 14 to 16. The prophets, the Lord said to Jeremiah, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. Now, they are prophets, but they are prophesying lies. I have not sent them. I have not commanded them. I have not spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, a false divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. These things are called out in the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. God said, I haven't sent them. You know, therefore, thus said the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, the Lord told Jeremiah that there was coming a sword and a famine. And some of the other people said, no, it's not going to be like that. You know, and then, well, the Lord said, well, evil is coming upon them. Now, however, this is the way the Lord wants, you know, a person that has a dream. Jeremiah 23 verses 28, 29 says, a prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him tell my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? I mean, There's a lot of chaff in prophecy these days. The real prophecy may be wheat, but there's a lot of chaff in between. You know, you got to figure out what's the chaff, you know, and what's the wheat. And, you know, sift the chaff out of there, get rid of it. You know, prove all things, the scripture says, hold fast to that which is good and abhor that which is evil. Now, even in the gift of prophecy, which will come later on, you know, somebody, God may give somebody a message, which is pure wheat, but they may put a lot of chaff around it. I hear people prophesy in the church all the time, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that comes from their mind, you know, not necessarily what the Lord is saying, but, you know, I mean, it could be good or not good, you know, but that left for you to discern. Now, when somebody has the mind of Christ and knows a lot of scripture, you know, they can open their mouth and say a lot of things, you know, which may be good. I mean, prophecy is for exhortation anyway. We'll come to that. But that may not be what God is saying in the moment. Or God may have said one thing and they put a lot of chaff around it. So we'll come to that as well. Stay with the word. Just say what God tells you. Don't add anything to it. If you have a dream, say the dream. If you don't know the interpretation, leave it alone. You know, if you have a tongue, do the tongue. If you don't have the interpretation, well, leave it alone. Somebody else may have the interpretation. If not, nobody interpretation, then shut up, the Bible says. Keep quiet. You know, but if God gives you something, then say it. But if you have the word, see, so the dream is different from the word. You have a dream. It's not every dream that we see. Now, this is Jeremiah 29 verses 28. Jeremiah 23 verses 28 and 29, telling you that not every dream is the word of the Lord. Now, the dreams can be used to bring the word of the Lord. We've seen many, many times in the Bible that the word of the Lord came to people by dream or a night vision. Solomon, the Lord spoke to him by dream. Everybody, you know, most people, even Joseph, the husband of Mary or the betrothed of Mary at the time, you know, and even when he, you know, took his wife, you know, God spoke to him by dream and even saved the life of Christ by a dream. The Lord came to Joseph in a dream by night and said, Joseph, arise, take the young lad and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again. For there are some that want to kill him and take his life. You know, and God saved the life of Christ as a child that it might be fulfilled. You know, what the prophet had spoken, Hosea, out of Egypt have I called my son. You know, so, I mean, but God used a dream. And God can use dreams. And we're not discountenancing or throwing them away. But not every dream. Sometimes a dream can come through the multitude of business. You've been thinking about stuff during the day. It's in your subconscious. 2 or 3 days later, you have a dream about that thing. It may or may not be from the Lord. It might be your mind. It might be the things you've been thinking about. There's a lot of things in our subconscious when we sleep. You know, but you know, if you have a dream and you don't have the interpretation, just tell the dream. Don't cook up something, you know. But if you have the word, ha, makote baroshalina. If you have the word, then tell the word. That's right. That's what we want to hear. You know, we want to hear dreams and stuff. Well, maybe. Probably good, you know. And God can do some good with it, especially personal. God can guide you through personal dreams. We've even seen God save the whole world through dreams. The dream of Pharaoh, which he didn't understand, you know, Joseph interpreted it was what saved the world at that time. I mean, so dreams have value. We're not throwing them away. Even visions and all these things have value. God can speak to us through that. But tell it the way it is what he's saying here in Jeremiah 23. Don't add any chaff to the wheat. Don't buttress it. Just say it the way it was given. Now, I'm looking at the time here. I see time is fast, but let me just digress a little bit and tell you about prophesying. You know, prophesying, you know, and all the gifts that are vocal gifts, like, you know, tongues, interpretations, the gift of prophecy, and that can even be a word of knowledge. It can be a word of wisdom. You know, these things are vocal gifts. you know, they can be spoken. You know, let me tell you that, first of all, the inspiration of any vocal gift is divine. But the delivery is human. Let me say that to you again. God divinely inspires through the gift, you know, the revelation of what he wants to bring across. But the delivery or the communication of that message is completely human. You may, if you are a person that is polished, that's a good speaker, that knows how to speak, and you've spoken a lot before people, and you're confident, and you might be able to, and you know a lot of scriptures, you might be able to deliver the message with polished way. Another person that's just starting out and is unsure of themselves and is shy and afraid, they might stumble and murmur, just fumble with the message, because they are not trained. They haven't learned how to do it. Well, you know, does that mean that the message, therefore, you know, there might even be grammatical error when they deliver it, because they're not polished in the language? Does that mean, therefore, that it's not from the Lord? And this is how people judge, because we don't have the spirit of discernment, you know, or the gift of discernment. It's not the delivery. The delivery may have chaff to it. The chaff may be just fluff. That's what chaff is. Fluff. There's some real stuff. Even if you buy things today, you go to the medicine aisle in your pharmacy, and you buy some, or you go to anything, not even medicine or anything at all, you know, anything that have chemicals, and you will see the active ingredients, 10%, 10% active ingredients and 95% chaff that they put to it. Put all kinds of stuff in there. You know, you buy bleach, you look at it, it's 5% active ingredients and 95% stuff or chaff. You know, so, you know, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? We want wheat. We want 100%. We don't want chaff. You know, get rid of that stuff. You know, but it does happen. You know, so the message might be, and I've given this illustration before, and that's why the gift of interpretation of tongues is called interpretation of tongues and not called translation of tongues. It's interpretation. It's not word for word translation. You interpret it the way the Lord gives you in the interpretation. And interpretation could be different. I mean, it's the same message. You know, I can send somebody, say, you know, go get my briefcase from my office. That's the message. Two people may deliver it in two different ways. Go get my briefcase from my office. One person can say, well, you know, I have this brown briefcase in my office. You'll find it under the table. You know, when you get into the house, you open the door, you go to the first room, and so on and so forth. You know, and then you look under the table, you'll find the, you know, brown briefcase. Bring it, Jimmy. You know, there was a lot of stuff added to that. Go get my briefcase from my office. There's a lot of stuff about the color and so forth. The person that said it, probably didn't say the color, just said, go get my briefcase. He already knew he had only one briefcase. You knew you can't miss it. But the other one person said, well, get, you know, even told you how to get there. You know, you go through the left door, one door, this and that. You find it under the table and so on. Well, the message didn't say that. Just said, go get my briefcase from my office. Well, the one that put all that extra stuff, are they lying? No, it's all true. But it was sharp. It's not the message. Another person may just say, you know, go to my office. You will find my briefcase laying on this side and bring it. I say it that way. He didn't say all the go through the left door, look under the table, and so on and so forth. That's interpretation. Everybody says it. The message itself is, get my briefcase from my office. That's the message. That might be spoken in tongues, get my briefcase from my office. And then the interpreter says all this other stuff. It's still all right. The other one says it a little bit different. It's still all right. So that's why it's called interpretation. Now, can bring that even to prophecy. It's the same way. Because when you speak a tongue and you interpret it, it's equal to prophecy. Paul taught that, and we'll get to that later. Prophecy is the same way. God may show you something or inspire something, but how you deliver it may be different. Some people have no compassion in their hearts at all. They have no business prophesying to the church. Anybody that doesn't have any compassion has no business. Because prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort, according to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. If you have no compassion, no empathy, you have no business prophesying to the people of God. You keep your mouth shut and pray in your corner. I mean, if all you think, all that you see is bad stuff, people are going to be involved in an accident, people are going to die, and this, and evil is going to happen. If that's all you see, pray in your house and avert it. That's the reason God gave you that. It doesn't mean it has to come to pass. It means you are supposed to pray, not to come to the church and tell us. That's not going to edify anybody. It's going to only put fear on the people. And when you put fear on the people, the devil take advantage of that. And they actually bring that thing to pass. Whereas that's not the intent. You know, but when you have compassion in your heart, you will do things differently. Now, does it mean they are false prophets? No, it just means they need to be taught differently. And so on and so forth. Now, let me summarize today's lesson. We'll continue tomorrow by the grace of God, because it's going to be a long series. That's why I call this part one. I'm going to summarize today's by giving us two quick stories. I will expand upon this tomorrow. But there are two quick stories of people in the Bible that spoke in the name of the Lord that God didn't send them. Actually, I have three stories, and I will tell you in detail tomorrow these stories. But let me just briefly tell you where they are found in the Bible, if you want to read them. Okay. There's a story found in 1 Kings chapter 13. There's a nameless young prophet there that the Lord told to do something. And go somewhere and do something. And the Lord told him certain things not to do. Don't go to anybody's house. Don't eat. Don't drink. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, and he was steadfast in that. When the king tried to make him come to his house and do this and that, he did not do it. Because he had his guard up when the king, because the king was not a believer like him. So he has his antennas were up. He was able to quickly discern that this one is trying to get me away from the word of the Lord. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. But now when an older prophet came, a renowned prophet came and spoke a lie to him in the name of the Lord, he let his guard down because, this is a great prophet. This is a great man of God. Said something, you know, and then he went with him. But the Bible said that the man lied unto him. Was he a false prophet? Because he lied unto him? Well, he spoke lies at that time. And the same prophet that lied unto him was the same one that brought judgment against him when they sat at meal. Very interesting story. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. 1 Kings 13, you know. That's one story. Prophet lied, point blank, just to get the man to come to his house. Say, well, the angel of the Lord spoke to me too, and I'm a prophet just like you. And the man said, wow, this is a renowned prophet. But it was a lie. You know, now, there is a story in 1 Kings 22, you know, of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Ahab wanting to go to lower war, asking Jehoshaphat to go with him. Jehoshaphat said, well, let's find out from the word of the Lord. You know, Ahab calling all his 400 prophets, all of them prophesying the same thing. Go, the Lord will give you victory over Ramoth Gilead. 400 prophets, ladies and gentlemen. You only need two or three. 400 prophets said the same thing. That should have sealed it in Jehoshaphat's mind. Because the Bible says, let every word be confirmed by two or three, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You don't need 400, you only need three. After the first three, it should have been settled in the mind of Jehoshaphat, but he wasn't settled. 400 people said the same thing. And Jehoshaphat said, there's something wrong with these people. You would not have another prophet besides? And I wonder, after 400, well, Micaiah came in there, said something else. You know, that the Lord showed him. Zedekiah comes out there, slaps him across the face. Say, Who are you? Who dash monkey banana? who gave you? Where did the Spirit of God go from me to you? Who are you to prophesy in my presence? You know, and so forth. Well, you know, and then he told him certain things, he prophesied many things. He said, well, you'll see in that day when you enter into a corner and you'll be ashamed, Micaiah said. So that story is in 1 Kings 22. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Then there is Jeremiah versus Hananiah in Jeremiah 28. We'll talk about that also tomorrow. You might want to read ahead of these stories. Very interesting stories. Jeremiah prophesied doom, you know, that God was going to give the city unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. But all these political prophets came and said, it is well with us. We're not going into captivity, blah, 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 blah. Well, he even made, you know, cons and so forth and said, this is how God's going to push, you know, back the armies of the wicked. Well, that sounds like a great prophecy. I mean, it's something that appeals to the mind, but it wasn't what God was saying. We'll talk about that again tomorrow. So let's wrap it up there. In this series, here is what is yet to come. Today we've talked about prophets. We'll talk more about tomorrow about prophesying falsely in the name of the Lord. Then we're going to talk about prophecy in general. All of this is coming in this series. What does it mean? You know, the prophecy. Is it just once you say, thus said the Lord, that's what makes it a prophecy? What does prophecy really mean? You know, and what about, you know, speaking the word of God? Can that be prophecy? Can it be prophetic? We'll talk about that. What is the gift of prophecy that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12? If you have the gift of prophecy, does that make you a prophet? We'll talk about that. Who can have the gift of prophecy? We'll talk about that. You know, and finally, in this series, we'll be talking about walking in the prophetic. What does that mean? Whether you're a prophet or not, how do you walk in the prophetic? We're going to talk about that because that's what's most important in this series, but I have to bring the whole balanced subject. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today. Let's leave it there. We are right at the bottom of the hour. We'll continue by the grace of God tomorrow. Now, what is your responsibility? What must you do between now and tomorrow? Well, read through some of these stories that I mentioned, 1 Kings 13. I'm not sure how much of it you can read, but make sure you're familiar with the stories. You may already be. 1 Kings 13, 1 Kings 22, Jeremiah 28. We'll be talking through these stories tomorrow. There are certain elements that we're going to bring out. Now, as we go through this series, we'll be calling out different prayer points. Ultimately, we want to walk in the prophetic. I will define what that means later. Today, my prayer point is this. The Lord said, you know, look, you need to know what the Lord has not spoken. Well, how do you know? Well, let's pray that the Lord will help us. Well, first of all, you got to know the word of the Lord, you know, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. You got to know the word. And then we also need discernment. You know, we need discernment and we need real, you know, we need the leaders of the church. If the prophecy was given in the church, we'll also be dealing in this series with, you know, public prophecy and private prophecy. We'll talk more about private prophecy when we get to the walking in the prophetic, because, you know, private, there's a lot of private prophecy, you know, that we look for from this person to tell you this and that person to tell you that. Whereas you yourself should be walking in the prophetic. This is the New Testament. We're not in the Old Testament anymore. But God still has some use for it sometimes when you are not paying attention. He may send somebody to tell you, but it's something that you should have known. And what they say should be confirmation only. We'll talk about all of that as we go through the series. Now I'm going to pray. Father, I pray over the room that you will help us. Help us to be able to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church through these lessons. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us, as you know, along with understanding, give us discernment to be able, help us to have our senses exercised to be able to discern between good and evil. And Lord, we pray that you will help each one of us also to be careful not to take the name of the Lord in vain, not to say the Lord has spoken when the Lord has not spoken. So many people say, the Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord told me. Did the Lord actually say it? I pray, Lord, that you will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.